You may be seated. Well, it's been a great day, huh? Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. You know, one of the things is we just thought about plenary sessions. We just wanted a time for you to be encouraged. I know this. You have been challenged so far today. I know you have been drinking from a fire hose all day today. And so we wanted there to be a time where you could just relax, where you could sit back, you could think, you could worship, you could praise the Lord, not only in song, but also to hear the word exposited. And it is my great pleasure to introduce a friend of mine, Dr. Charles Ware. He is the president of Crossroads Bible College. They are one of the few Bible colleges in the country that actually offer a bachelor's degree in biblical counseling. They have been great friends of us here at Faith. We are partners together. He is a preacher of the word. I know you're going to enjoy him. He is a preacher of the word. I guarantee that. He's a lover of Jesus, he's loved by Jesus, and he's an advocate of biblical counseling. And so with that in mind, please welcome Dr. Charles Ware.
Well, amen. Thank you, Bob. Indeed, it is a privilege to be here. I was in Atlanta, and, you know, people tweet, and I was watching these tweets come up, and I said, what? I got this stuff going on. They're giving away Crossroads Bible College staff books and tapes. And I'm like, who told them to give my stuff away? You know, man, I said, that is something else. Now, we're delighted to be here, and great to see a Crossroads Bible College grad giving that testimony. That was awesome. I thought, I don't need to preach. She took my whole message. But also, we have people from Crossroads Bible Church. Where are you back there, Hank? Where in the world are you? Oh, here they are, right back here. Yes, Crossroads Bible Church is pastored by Crossroads Bible College alumnus, and they're located in one of the six hot spots in Indianapolis. The IMPD, the police, have identified six spots where crime is really high, and they are located there ministering the Word of God. The Wheel of Mission has a year-long program for women struggling with addiction, so on and so forth. They had to choose a church that they wanted them to be affiliated with, and they chose Crossroads Bible Church. And then just a couple weeks ago, a 13-year-old kid was shot and killed. They think it may have been somewhat gang-related. And they're from that neighborhood, and the church reached out, touched the family, offered to do the funeral. They even had some police there just in case there was any gang retaliation. Had the funeral there at the church for the family, and the people came together and fed them a tremendous testimony. And I was in prayer meeting, I think it was last Wednesday, and one young man that's associated with that family was in church on Wednesday night. Amen? Amen. The gospel is still rolling. We're all right. Praise God. So we are delighted to be here. And Crossroads Bible College, we want to be a part of making a difference based upon the power of the Word of God. We still believe in the power of the Word of God. Somebody just said to me, man, if Rip Van Winkle would come back and he'd turn on the news and listen to that about an hour, he'd think, whoa, the world's in a problem. He said, but if he came here and said what's going on here today, he said, whoa, there's hope. I want to tell you something. You do something to one another when you come together. You know that? Amen. Praise God. It's good to see y'all. All right, I'm delighted. I think Bob told me I had until I wanted to stop. And he said, just do that. And I always ask, what do you want, man? And tell me how long it got. Because depending on how long I got, you get my white version or my black version of my sermon. But So I really don't know where I'm at. He just told me, just go. You know, just stop. I might get a black version tonight. I know. Don't worry. I know you're hungry. I know you're hungry. I'm not crazy. But hey, you know what? As I was thinking about coming together and being with you this evening and wanting to just encourage your hearts, I came up with this title, The Making of a Biblical Counselor. How do you make a biblical counselor? You say, well, brother, well, that's what I'm doing. Doggone it. I'm in track one. I'm in the track two. I asked them for track three. I'm trying to become a biblical counselor. And how do you make one of them things anyway? And some of you, I know what some of you are saying too. You're saying, why do I have to be a biblical counselor? Pay a pastor to preach? He can't do it. He preached, but they got all the problems and bring them to me. Yeah, you ought to be a preacher. That's what you ought to be instead of a counselor, right? No. The making of a biblical counselor. How do we do it? How does God make a biblical account? Education is important. You need to know the word of God, know it thoroughly, believe in it completely. But I want to talk about an aspect of the making of a biblical counseling that perhaps you've heard, you've been taught, but I just want to encourage you with it tonight, because some of you come here, you're kind of broken in your own life, you're kind of losing hope. Man, I believed all that stuff about the gospel and about the power of the word of God, and I talk about the power of the word of God. I believe in the power of the word of God, but my life is falling apart. It just may be that God is making you into a biblical counselor. Because, see, the making of a biblical counselor involves this pressure that God puts you in as he forms you. And there's no amount of education, even biblical education, that can replace what God has to take you through. Amen. It's not just what's in your head or in your heart. It's what God puts in your life as he shapes and makes you into a biblical counselor. We're going to use the Apostle Paul, and we're going to take 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as our main text. And I want to go through this text tonight somewhat quickly, but I want to talk to you very honestly and transparently, because some of you are precious in God's sight, and I know you've heard the word of God, you know the scriptures and everything, but deep down in your heart, you're just wondering, what's going on, Lord? I'm falling apart. I can't hold this thing together. And what I want you to understand, hang in there, because God is shaping, making, molding you to be an effective biblical counselor. 2 Corinthians, by the way, some of you think you run into problems when you get involved in biblical counseling. Just read 1 Corinthians. I had a guy ask me once, said, if you lived back in that day and God called you to pastor the church at Corinth, would you do it? I said, Man, you're talking about a dysfunctional, sin-filled church. In fact, if God didn't call them saints, I would say they ain't. But anyway, the Apostle Paul did his thing there, and in 2 Corinthians, he somewhat has to defend his apostleship in this particular book to those who were criticizing him, preaching a false gospel. But in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day.